Welcome to 2017, folks.
Yay!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Coming up next, the legendary Carrie Fisher passes away, and Disney stands to make $50 million on her death. Disney animator Tyrus Wong passes away, and if you're planning at staying at the All-Star Resorts this year, expect to pay a little more. We'll have details. Also, Rhino is going to be joining us from Disney's Hollywood Studios a little later on. And we're also going to discuss the holiday crowds this past December. All that coming up next. From the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Diz Unplugged. This is the Diz Unplugged, episode 923 for the week of January 3rd, 2017. The Diz Unplugged is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect Disney vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show, coming to you live from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined at the table this week by my good friends, John Magi.
Hi, everybody.
Kevin Close.
Happy New Year.
Kathy Worling.
Hi, everybody.
Julie Martin.
Hey, y'all.
Back on the switch, our associate producer, Oliver Green.
Hello, everyone.
And, of course, our producer, Mr. Craig Williams.
Hello.
Well, welcome to the show, everyone, and Happy New Year, our first show of 2017. It is nice to be back after what felt like a very quick hiatus this year. I don't know why. It just felt like it.
You know, because like you made us do three shows after the podcast group.
Yeah.
Meeting.
Well, what are you gonna do? It felt like it went like that. It was just kind of
the holidays went really fast this year.
Well, the whole year went. I've really come to the conclusion: the older I get, the faster things.
Yes. Oh, that's definitely true.
It is.
It's just getting. Oh, you're still
no,
a child.
No, I feel
child.
That way.
You're a
no.
child.
I'm not a child. I'm gonna be 37 years old.
No, you're 23. They stop aging when I meet them.
It's like when you don't see kids for a while and they stay that age that you remember them at.
Which makes me feel good because that makes me, what, 30? I'm so excited.
My niece Melanie is 12. Carl is 9.
My nephews are, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of that, can I just say Ferris is going to be 8 on Thursday.
Oh, wow. My Lord.
Not allowed. Sorry.
I remember when he used to be in the podcast room.
Yep. Oh, no. I was looking back at photos of before he was born, New Year's Eve 2008. I was a house, and I gave birth 6 days later. I'm like, I can't believe I went anywhere.
You were not a house.
I mean, I was all belly, but it was – people were looking at me like I was going to give birth in the restaurant. I'm like, what is this woman doing out?
So, all right, a couple things that just want to mention in housekeeping. First of all, if you are an Amazon Echo or Alexa, as she's also known, user, you can now add the Diz Daily Fix to your skill set. So you just tell Alexa to give you your daily briefing. And if you've selected the Diz Daily Fix as part of your flash briefing, that day's fix will be read to you from Alexa. But you can also, and this is by popular demand, we had a lot of people asking for this, the audio of each day's daily fix is now on iTunes, so you can subscribe to that and download it for your commutes. You're going to be getting it a day late unless you're commuting at noon, but there it is.
Listen to it on the drive home.
Listen to it on the drive home. There you go. See, I only think about going to work. People have to leave work, and I don't understand that.
Yeah. I don't understand days off either.
Days off, set days, holidays.
Very upset. Things are closed.
But do me a favor, Craig, just up the volume on my headset. It's really weird. So, perfect. So you can subscribe to us, the Daily Fix on iTunes, as well. So there'll be links to that, along with everything else that we talk about in our shows, on our show notes page, disunplugged.com. I am completely off my game this morning, man, this afternoon. It's been a long weekend. Everybody follow me on Facebook. You know, Abby, my dog had to have emergency surgery. Sunday night, she's fine, just problems with her ears, but it's kind of, you know, heck of a way to ring in the new year. Also want to say thank you, a special thank you to our supporters on Patreon for being so generous. Patreon is a place where you can donate a certain amount of money every month to help support what we do here on the show and help support some of the things we're working on for the future. And again, details and links to that you can find on our show notes page. We have some cool stuff coming up for our patrons. We have content we create just for them, not the least of which is going to be me making Oliver read quotes from Downton Abbey. I'm very excited about that. I've been binge watching Downton Abbey. I'm on a kick. I mean, I've watched it several times already, but I just kind of go back and watch it again. And I'm like, it'd be really funny to hear Oliver read Maggie Smith's lines.
I actually think you should do something different. I think you should read like NASCAR or something. That's like so American.
NASCAR as Maggie Smith.
Oh, there you go.
Hey.
Call a NASCAR race as Maggie Smith. I think that would be awesome.
The scary thing is, I can't even think now where, like, what is a NASCAR line? I don't even know what a NASCAR line would be.
If you're not first or last, shake and bake.
Oh. Drive fast, turn left.
Yeah.
Drive fast, turn left.
Is that right?
And don't hit other cars.
Don't hit other cars.
And now
when Disney World first opened that silly racetrack, I had a friend who was working there at the time, and we got tickets to the inaugural race. It was pickup trucks racing. And I lasted about 10 minutes. And I thought, everybody had headphones and a clipboard, and I didn't have headphones and a clipboard. So, and I kept thinking, what are they listening to, and what are they writing down? I only lasted about 10 minutes. I decided there were better places to spend my time.
Also, I want to remind everybody about the gaggle of shows we are now producing every week. Every Monday, disunplugged.com, the Dreams Unlimited Travel podcast with John, Kevin, Tracy Heinrichs, and a rotating, sometimes me, and sometimes other people, and sometimes Dreams agents.
Sometimes just me.
Just the John show.
It never be just me.
It's the Dreams Unlimited show, awful. Starring John.
I mean, the worst show ever. It was just me.
So what's coming up?
Next week, January 9th, will be the first show of the new year, and it's part one of a two-part series on Celebrity Cruise Line. Tracy went on a Celebrity Cruise, and this is something that her description of specifically the food on this cruise has made me want to go on a Celebrity Cruise Line sailing.
Okay.
It sounded incredible.
We loved ours. I mean, it was almost 10 years ago now, but we loved it.
What I liked is she kind of shows how the line has progressed from a more stuffy, mature line to a more relaxed cruise line. So very exciting stuff.
Cool. All right. So that's next Monday, January 9th, will be the first episode of the year for the Dreams Unlimited Travel Show.
Correct.
The Disneyland edition of the Diz Unplugged with Tom Bell and his team launched their premiere episode for the year yesterday. And this week, they are back with their annual Year in Review show. So you can check them out on iTunes or, of course, disunplugged.com. And every Wednesday, the best and worst of Walt Disney World. And Oliver, what's going up tomorrow?
Tomorrow, we are also doing a year in review, and we're going to be talking about the best and worst things that Walt Disney have done in 2016. So it's a good show. It's a long one, but it's a fun one.
It was a fun show to do.
It was.
And of course, every Thursday, disunplugged.com, the Universal edition of the Diz Unplugged with Craig Williams, Oliver Green, and Mr. Rhino Clavin, or Mrs. Rhino Clavin, as it should be. What's
Ms.
Mrs. Mrs. He's an old-fashioned girl. What's it going to be this week, Craig?
Well, instead of looking back at 2016, we're going to look forward into 2017 and talk about some of the biggest rumors right now for 2017, as well as what's opening up and how
way
it compares.
Way to throw best and worst under the bus.
Oh, yeah. You know.
Instead of really? Being retro and looking back,
well,
that'd be dumb.
Our fun part of it is we're going to compare what's opening in Universal in 2017 versus what's opening in Disney in 2017.
Mm.
So a little bit of a compare-contrast.
Oh.
Should be good.
And, of course, every Friday-ish, disunplugged.com, DizPop with Rhino Clavin and occasionally other people. I know he sent a synopsis through, but
something about Star Wars or movies.
I'm going to talk about Star Wars. I'm going to talk about Marvel, and I'm going to talk about what are they called?
Well, that's what he's supposed to do.
The Power Rangers.
That's what he's supposed to do.
Is everyone stubborn in the dark? Because it is actually something about Star Wars.
No. He's going to talk about the shows that are the movies that are going to be released in 2017 from Disney.
Disney, Pixar, Marvel, right. Star Wars movie slate for 2017.
See?
And which films he's most excited for and why.
Excellent.
Thanks, Ryan.
Isn't that the synopsis of all
I read it too, but all I really saw was Star Wars. So I was like, oh, never mind.
All right, so either everybody else's audio is really high and mine isn't, or something's up with my headset.
It's your headset.
Because I sound muted. Everybody else sounds like they're screaming in my ear.
Sorry.
So, no, it's not your fault. It's their fault.
No, it's...
I'm blaming the production team.
The levels back here are absolutely fine, so I'm going to say it's a hardware issue. And it's your headset. Well, that's just a guess.
Is that a hardware issue, too?
Yeah, I just seen that flash as well.
You're having the opposite problem of Mariah Carey.
Yeah, really. I'm going to do the mic drop and walk off. But this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt when it hits.
Yeah, but if she was having a problem, couldn't you think she would at least smile and sort of play along a little bit as opposed to standing there with her hand on her
just
hip?
Help me down.
Now, also, every Friday through the month of January, Connecting with Walt, with Michael Bowling and Craig Williams. And this week's episode is Michael talking about the events at the recent D23 Destination D, Amazing Adventures of Walt Disney World. That's an awfully long title.
Not going to make a good acronym.
No. No. D23 stuff rarely ever does. So that's this Friday. You can subscribe to all of these on iTunes as well, or watch them. YouTube.com/DizUnplugged or from DizUnplugged.com. Now that I've spent 35 minutes talking about this latest shows, anything else for housekeeping?
I have some exciting news for housekeeping.
Okay.
We're starting to work on our 20th anniversary event for the Diz and WDWinfo.com. There's a post on the Diz boards where you'll be able to find all the information as it happens. We're going to have some discounted rooms at Disney across all resort categories for folks with different budgets, and we are slowly putting together our events. So nothing in concrete yet, nothing in being contracted, but excited to say we're working on it.
And okay,
the 20th anniversary is actually June 1st, so that will be the day we do something big. However, there will be events around that date as well.
So right, it's going to be going on. It's a 3-week event.
3 weeks, though.
Well, I've been doing this for 20 years. It needs to be a 3-week event.
Okay, weeks 1 and 3 are on your on you. I'll take the middle week.
Yeah, no, very excited about that.
Yeah, excited to be starting it. You know, it's always great to start.
Well, I mean, honest to God, I mean, we're actually talking about this 20 years that we've been doing this. And I'm just, that I can't.
He literally can't even.
I can't even. I can't even. Talk to the hands. No, it's crazy. It's crazy. You know, when you think, you know, 10 years, it was 10 years of the show in July. And now it's 20 years, looking at 20 years of the Diz. And kind of crazy. Kind of crazy where it went, what it's doing, where we started.
I have an idea of something we're going to do. Do you want to know what it is now, or should I wait until the car?
All right.
Are you going to drive home? I'll wait.
All right. Anything else for housekeeping? Anybody else? All right. We got some good news stories to talk about this week, so I'll throw it over to Johnny with the news.
All right. Disney set to receive $50 million in life insurance after Carrie Fisher's death. According to the Insurance Insider blog, Disney is in line to receive...
Does it surprise you that that's...
Yes, it does. It just goes into the blog for everything. Disney is in line to receive nearly $50 million from a, quote, contract protection policy it took out in the event Carrie Fisher would be unable to complete her 3-film commitment to the new Star Wars trilogy. Fisher's character, Leia Organa, will allegedly have a larger role in December's Episode 8. It was also suspected that her character would play a major role in 2019's Episode 9. Following Fisher's death on December 27th, the article suggests the $50 million amount would be, quote, the market's biggest ever single personal accident insurance claim. That's a pretty impressive amount that they're going
to
get.
Well, I mean, it's common practice for studios to take out life insurance policies on their stars. $50 million, given the value of the franchise and her role in it, certainly makes sense. I think if Disney wants to show that, I don't know, there's a shred of decency somewhere in the company, donate that $50 million to a good organization that works with addiction and mental health. Because
heart disease in women.
or heart disease in women too. But Carrie Fisher's mission in life was to shed light on the issue of mental health. She suffered with bipolar disorder. It went undiagnosed for many, many years. Also suffered with addiction. And she was very upfront and open about it during a time when no one else was. It was not something that was talked about. It was not something celebrities came forward with. And I remember back in the late 80s when she came out with Postcards from the Edge. And, you know, she had to shroud that book in, you know, she put it in a fictional shroud, even though it was based heavily on her own life, for that very reason. But she was still very brave in coming out. And in subsequent books, she didn't shroud it in fiction. She spoke of her own experiences, and she always did it with humor, and she made it okay. She made it okay to talk about that stuff. And as somebody who's lived through a lot of that stuff, it's something that hits close to my heart. That, you know, people tell me all the time, I've spoken about my issues with depression in the past and my issues with addiction. One of the reasons it's okay for people to do that now is Carrie Fisher, her bravery and her honesty. And I normally don't get worked up over celebrity deaths. This one got to me. This one got to me.
If you want to pay tribute to Carrie Fisher, there's a great one-woman show she did several years ago, but they're showing it again on HBO. I imagine you would be able to get it on iTunes. That's a guess. I don't know for sure. It's called Wishful Drinking, and it's funny. And she talks about the relationships in Hollywood and how they're so intermingled. And she said, I'm afraid that I'm going to find out that I'm actually related to the person I'm dating.
Well, no, it was her daughter was dating a guy that was Elizabeth Taylor. His grandparents were like Elizabeth Taylor and somebody else. And they were trying to figure out if somehow they were, the two of them were trying to figure out if they were somehow related. So she has this Hollywood inbreeding chalkboard that she does, which is hilarious. So yeah, it is great. It is a great, I watched it when it was first on. It's also, the book is also fantastic. It's a great book, Wishful Drinking. And that is, you're right, that's on HBO. They'll be running that. Plus, they're also going to be running now, I think, on the 7th, the documentary that was filmed. It wasn't supposed to come out until March, but HBO's moved it up. The documentary that was being filmed with her and her mother.
I think they've already shown that. I think they showed it on Christmas Eve. Kathleen watched it.
No, I thought they said that they were releasing it.
Well, then
there was
one shown on Christmas Eve because she called and said, "Are you watching it?" And I said, "I don't think I want to watch that on Christmas Eve."
Oh,
so and then one of the number one movies on iTunes right now is Singing in the Rain. So
yeah, just really, I mean, what a, you know, George Michael, Carrie Fisher, and then Debbie Reynolds all in the span of a week.
Yeah,
just kind of capped off 2016 in just not the best way. Really sad. Really, really sad.
I agree.
But I think Disney should take that personally. I think they should take that $50 million and put it towards, you know, you don't need it. You're making a lot of money off the Star Wars films. And the next one, because she's in it, is going to do even better than it would have done otherwise. So I think they should do something with that.
It's not unusual for that to take out insurance policies on the talent. I have insurance policies out on all of you.
I want to know how much I'm worth.
I was just going to say, unfortunately, except Oliver, because, you know.
About $19.
Oliver.
Wow, it's
$150.
Yeah, but that's in, we've got to do the conversion.
That's in Celsius.
Pounds.
That's in Celsius.
All right, our second fun news story. Disney animator Tyrus Wong passes away. Tyrus Wong, a Disney legend whose artistic style heavily influenced the classic Disney animated feature Bambi, has passed away at age 106.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
What an awesome life to see 106 years.
We did a Backstage Magic where we combined the San Francisco trip with the Southern California trip. And one of the things we did was they took us to an island in San Francisco Bay called Angel Island.
Angel Island, right.
And they explained that during the war, that was an internment camp, and that Tyrus Wong was one of the people in the internment camp, and that his writing was still on the wall where he wrote poetry and letters and things like that.
His story of what he had to deal with trying to work in Hollywood as a Chinese American is in those years was unbelievable. I mean, the way he was, even at Disney, completely overlooked. In fact, on Bambi, he was really the art director of that film. Yet, when you look at the credits on Bambi, he's just a background artist, I think, is what they credited him as. And he dealt with that at Warner Brothers. There was just a lot of racism that he dealt with, and still.
Well, Bambi came out at a time when having a Japanese art director probably would have been considered.
Was it Japanese or Chinese?
It was an internment camp. He was.
I don't know if it was an internment camp. It was where they processed people coming in from China. He was Chinese. But what happened was, because he came in as a child, and I guess people were sneaking in, and he had to be. He really had to be coached and how to give the right answers. And I mean, it was at 10 years old, and he was by himself. His father wasn't allowed to be with him because his father was already here. And he never saw, once he left China, he never saw his mother again. And I mean, it was really awful, heartbreaking story. And so when you think about, you know, what this man did and, you know, the contributions he made, and that it was only much, much, much later in his life that he really started to get any kind of real recognition for his contributions. He was in his 90s before he started getting real recognition for his contributions to Disney in particular, but in other areas as well.
When we were on this Adventures by Disney, they showed that much of his influence came from living on Angel Island.
Yeah.
That the forestry and the backgrounds for Bambi were directly influenced by his time there. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was very, very cool. So, but 106 years old, it's a good long life.
I agree. I don't see any reason to read the rest of the story. We kind of covered what was in it. All right, our third news story. New tax rate for all-star resorts. The tax rates at Disney's All-Star Resorts will be raised to 7.5% beginning January 1st, 2017. This part of property is in Osceola County. The rest is in Orange County, so they operate under a different tax rate. This only affects room rates and will not affect any theme park tickets purchased at those resorts for the nearby ESPN Wide World of Sports complex. The tickets will still be purchased under the 6.5% tax rate of Orange County. Any reservations that are booked or modified after January 1st will be calculated with the new tax rate. Any bookings made before November 23rd, 2016 and have not been modified will have the increased taxes applied at check-in. This is actually the sales tax in Osceola County. I only know this because Dreams Villas is affected by this. The sales tax in Osceola County has gone up. So your total tax actually for the property is now 13.5%, which includes tourist tax and actual sales tax. So that's why the increase was because they voted on a give money to schools or some such nonsense. I don't know.
Yeah, it's for people that just don't know. Unlike a lot of states where there's just, you know, the state has a sales tax rate, we have varying degrees depending on the county you're in. So what are we, 6.5 in Orange?
6, I believe.
Something like that.
I don't remember.
Obviously, Osceola, a lot of tourism. A lot of hotels.
6.5.
And just so happens that the All-Stars fall in that.
Right.
I think in the news story it says Orange is 6.5. I might be wrong.
Could be. Very possible. Yep. So that's
It is. So, yeah, it's right there. 6.5% tax.
See, I actually read the things you said.
Excellent. I think it's interesting, though, that tickets purchased there are the Orange County. I guess that's because maybe that's where the main sales office is for tickets.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how they process their tickets. All right, our fourth and final news story. Thank goodness.
This is just crazy.
Thank goodness for something fun.
Oh, my God.
Man arrested at Disney Springs urinates on officer's leg. Early New Year's Day, 20-year-old Joseph Murphy was arrested on Disney property for disorderly intoxication. Several other charges against Murphy include battery on a police officer, indecent exposure of sexual organs, and resisting an officer without violence.
Oh, welcome 2017.
The man continued to resist officers even after he was placed inside a patrol cruiser by trying to choke himself and by banging his head against the partition in the vehicle while yelling police brutality.
That wasn't all he was yelling.
It was also reported that once the man was taken to the Orange County Jail, the man urinated on the floor and turned to face one of the officers and urinated on his pants while yelling expletives, including F. Donald Trump. Which, when I've read that part, I thought, well, maybe it's Bill Clinton. Murphy was then booked into jail.
Please tell me this man was not from Florida.
Look, here's the thing.
Oh, you knew he was.
here's the thing. First of all, he's 20 years old. And apparently drinking at Disney Springs. So let's hope that in the... with the sensationalism of the headline, that doesn't get overlooked in this, that a 20-year-old was getting drunk at Disney Springs. Now, this was a problem they had at Pleasure Island and with underage people figuring out ways to get served. Wonder if Disney's going to be on top of that, because clearly somehow this kid was in there getting drunk. The rest of it's just hilarious.
But it was in the morning of January 1st.
I think it was early in the morning. I think it was New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, party. So.
Yeah, he had been partying.
Please show that picture again. Please bring that picture up.
There you are.
First of all, if it doesn't look like he's urinating now, I don't know.
Yeah, really?
He has what they call resting pee face. It's just, and then he tried choking himself.
I know, that's the funniest thing to me. Wasn't he in handcuffs?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's...
Please tell me there's video of that.
That's what Pete said.
Exactly what I said to Oliver. Please tell me we have video.
That's...
Because I'd give anything to play that.
The police are beating me up.
Police brutality. All right. Throwing himself into a partition. Can't make this stuff up. Well, we can, but we don't.
You know he's from Florida. And he has a pet alligator. Or a python or something.
He's probably shirtless all the whole time. All right, that'll do it for the news.
All right, thank you, John. Before we move on to rapid fire, we are going to go to our intrepid reporter in the parks, the lovely and talented, and recently... celebrated his birthday, which was on January 1st. So everyone wish him a big happy birthday.
Happy 40th birthday, Rhino.
The Lady Rhino Clavin. Yeah. Or as I call him, the Lady Clavin.
Hello. Happy New Year, everybody.
Rhino, I think you have a stalker.
Kevin, you're dead to me.
But Rhino, Schitt's Creek starts this week.
Oh, I'm so excited. Happy birthday to me. That's what I'm so excited about. Yeah. So.
How was your holiday?
It was good. It was fun. I was lucky enough because you gave us the day off yesterday. I was able to spend New Year's Eve with my mom and stepdad and brother and his girlfriend, and it was fun. We did a nice little quiet. We did a dinner and then a quiet evening and watched the ball drop. And Mariah Carey's Meltdown was a nice little birthday present. So it was good. And then I've been in a car for the last 48 hours, yesterday until last night, and now I'm here at Disney. Yay!
You're the only person who it takes 48 hours to drive from Massachusetts to Orlando. You know that, right?
Thank God for wash and dries.
It is a nightmare of a drive, but so, it was good. It was good.
So tell us where you are and what you're doing.
Well, I figured, Rogue One came out, and then we went on hiatus, and they added some stuff to Hollywood Studios. So I figured as soon as I got back to Orlando, I was going to take a trip over to Hollywood Studios and see what they had that was different from before. And... it's not that much. So it's a little, I don't know. We're staying positive. 2017, we're positive. So they added some new stuff into the launch bay area, and I am in the section where they added it. They call it the preview area, and it's apparently where they highlight all the movies or where they're going to, like, put the new movie stuff. So I will show you some stuff in here. And what I was told that's exciting this time, that's different than last time, is that these are the actual props from the movies. They're not replicas. So let me spin you around here. So this is one of the Shore Trooper costumes from the movie. Now, Kevin, you're probably loving this.
I went and saw Star Wars fireworks, you know.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm very excited to see it. Maybe not tonight, but I'm thinking about doing it this weekend. It's like a birthday thing.
I laughed. I cried. It was better than Cats.
Better than Cats on the Royal Caribbean Oasis of the Seas.
No, that was the best Cats.
But here's some more stuff. They've got like Jin's helmet from the movie. They've got Ando's blaster. And then these, which don't look very exciting, are Bodhi Brooks goggles, I guess. But they look like they're the kind that you stole from a classroom, like a wood shop in a high school.
I was thinking chemistry.
So, yeah, chemistry. But they're,
oh, and behind you is the death ball.
The death ball.
Yeah, I found the only thing that's similar to the size of my head right here. There you go. Give you a little side-by-side comparison. See?
You're saying that's the actual prop used in the movie?
No, okay. So that's what I thought. But it the ships and the Death Star, those are just models.
Legos? And are they Legos?
Yeah. They're just what they are. They're just little ships, little models. They're not from there. But the suit, the Stormtrooper suit, there's an Imperial Tech uniform over here in this case. And the blaster right there of the blind turret, I think is his name, the blind monk. Those are all actual props from the movie.
That's pretty cool. Because I got to tell you.
So it looks like there's about 10 props in here, but yeah.
I know you don't necessarily agree with me on this, but in my opinion, I thought Rogue One was better than Force Awakens.
Well, I saw it again. I went again because Eli hadn't seen it, and I had to, you know, I got to get my mom to go. And I enjoyed it. For me, seeing it the second time, a lot of the anxiety's gone, so I can just enjoy it a lot more. And it is very enjoyable. Like, there are moments that played a little better the second time around. So I definitely think it's a watch more than once film.
Oh, yeah. No, sure. I love seeing it a second time. They're all laughing at you about the anxiety.
I hate movie anxiety.
For me, it's terrible. I if it's a movie I'm really excited for, I go watch it, and I just can't process anything. So I have to immediately go watch it again.
That's how I felt about Sing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I have issues.
We saw the previews to the, what are they called? The Power Rangers movie.
Yeah, talk about movie anxiety right there. I'm sure to have seen that three times in the first day it comes out just to be able to watch it and enjoy it once.
Wow. Hold on, are you being chased?
I say, at what point is he going to meet the Blair Witch?
It keeps getting, like, it'll be empty, and then there'll be, like, just a crowd of people. And it's so I keep trying to move away from the crowd. Hide in the corner. I don't look suspicious at all.
Go stand near the men's room.
It's over here.
All right, we'll let you get back to your day, Rhino, but thanks for coming in, and we will see you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, I'll see you guys later.
Bye, Rhino.
Bye, Rhino.
Bye.
All right, so I miss Rhino. Well, no, I haven't seen him.
Because I've been on the road for 4 days.
Really?
Well, everybody else was here over the break, and we were doing the daily fix. Rhino was the only one who went home for the holidays. So we're trying not to hold that against him. But I've made notes in my book of grievances. But I'm glad he's back. Can't wait to see him. All right, so we are going to move on to rapid fire, and let's go ahead and start with you, Mr. Magi.
Okay. Disney has released several discounts while we were on break. Most of these occur in the February to June time frame. One is the Sun and Fun package, dates February 20th to June 8th, 2017, booked by February 26th. A book through February 26th for most days, February 20th to June 8th. Then there's a quick service meal with a Disney Value Resort package. Similar dates, most nights May 30th through August 24th. There's a room only discount at about 25% discount on room only reservations. And then there's Kevin's favorite package, the Kinder Moon vacation package.
You going on a Kinder Moon, Kevin?
I don't know why, but words like that annoy me.
Because it's an annoying word.
They stick in my craw. I can't explain it.
I agree.
What exactly is a Kinder Moon? A kid's vacation?
Before your kids go into kindergarten, you take one last vacation before they start school.
They were scraping the barrel for names for discounts.
There's enough moons already. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the thing is, it's not even that great. You get two FastPass Plus vouchers.
But this is what drives me crazy, though. Two FastPass Plus vouchers for rides nobody has trouble getting on.
And, you know, the 4-year-old is about to go to kindergarten. doesn't really care if they're going to go on Soarin' or not.
But it's not. Am I right? It was not for any of the attractions that. Here's a fast pass for Country Bear Jamboree. Oh, really? Was that hard to get into?
If it was a Kinder Moon, wouldn't it happen after they start kindergarten? Like a honeymoon happens after you get married.
But the baby moon happens pre-baby.
Okay.
Right.
I don't know what a baby moon is. I've never heard
of it. You will.
Yes, you will.
Do you know something he doesn't?
Now, just the thought of, okay, what is going on? Why do we keep blacking out?
Yeah, we keep losing. It's the wide shot. It says back here, every now and again, we're going to disappear. I think it's an issue with the HDMI cable.
Okay.
I blame the producer.
Headset's your new HDMI cable.
Now I know what Mariah feels like.
Joe.
Works when Rhino's here.
Soft and squishy.
Sorry.
Well, yeah, actually, yeah. I've lost weight. I haven't gained any muscle, though, so it's kind of marshmallowy. We've speculated for a while. We've heard grumblings and rumors that they might start playing around with fast passes for certain packages, for concierge guests, for things like that. I think this is the opening salvo in this. This is not the last time we're going to see this.
If it's successful.
Right. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you really want to sell one of these packages, give a family of four fast passes to Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. You'll sell packages. Believe me. People will be like, oh, okay. Yeah, it's that for the popular ones. But you're going to do it for Country Bear Jamboree? Who the hell cares?
Do they even have fast passes?
I don't think this makes any sense. Why don't they do like a pre-10 moon? You know, like before they become a Disney adult?
She's still on Kinder Moon.
I'm sorry, I can't get over Kinder Moon. I'm like, Kevin.
It just annoys me.
Apparently there's a ton of moons now. There's Maxi Moons, Mini Moons, Adventure Moons.
Maxi Moon was my nickname in high school.
Funny.
It's not funny.
I'm going to quiet that from now on.
Sure, I'm glad that's the one that'll stick.
Would you rather be, here's your rocket bar, you fat cow?
That's no. At Maximum.
Maximum Magi.
My gladiator name.
Okay, I want a t-shirt. I want, Will, if you're watching, and I know you are,
oh my God.
I want a t-shirt in the store.
I do too. I married Maximum Magi. You started this.
Yep.
I just so I can go stream of consciousness here. Speaking of the shirts Will creates in the Diz store, if you haven't checked them out, you need to. Every so often, I'll go and I'll check it out, and I'll be like, oh, my God, that's a really cool shirt, and I buy them. I mean, the Diz, the one Oliver's wearing right now, you know, Eat, Sleep, Disney, Repeat is one of Will's. But he did one, Diz Pride, is gorgeous, beautiful
Rhino
shirt.
Rhino was wearing that.
Absolutely beautiful. Well, that's how I found out about it. Rhino came in wearing it one day. I'm like, where the hell did you get that? Oh, it's on the store. I'm like, it's so nice that people tell me this stuff. So I ordered it. So there's some great stuff on there, really and truly. So make sure, Craig or Oliver, whoever's doing
it's in
the show
there
notes,
every week.
Make sure that that's in the show notes. But yeah, I think we are absolutely seeing the first step in the monetization of fast passes. I think we are. And I think concierge is next. And I think the concierge ones are the ones that are going to get
better ones. And concierge kind of has that now anyway, because you can go to your concierge and say, listen, I want a fast pass, and they will help you get one.
But they don't guarantee it.
They don't guarantee it.
They don't guarantee it. So don't want to set anybody's expectations there, because sometimes they don't. But yeah, concierge does have tricks. From time to time, they can help with that. So, but all right, thank you, John.
You're welcome.
Mr. Magi Close, or Close Magi.
As long as it's not Maximoon.
Mrs. Maximoon Magi.
I have a rumor. I have a very, very good, solid rumor. It's my understanding. I was told I can share this rumor as long as I say that it came from two devastatingly good-looking people. That was the caveat. That they're in the next year, at the end of next year, a giant tent will be built in someplace in Orlando, I don't have the location, and that a traveling show of Cirque du Soleil is going to set up for probably 6 to 8 months while they close down the theater at Disney World and put in a new show.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
Interesting. And
that's pretty big considering they haven't changed that show in
10 years. Yeah. I have this on fairly good authority that there will be a large tent traveling show to take its place while that closes down, but they're going to put a new show in the La Nuba Theater, but it's just called the Cirque du Soleil Theater.
I wonder where they're going to put this tent.
I don't know. They're clearing a lot of land out by Wide World of Sports.
And Osceola Parkway. If you go out that way, two of the three corners there are completely leveled. Yeah. So we're not sure exactly what's going to happen there, but that might be
That is not part of my rumor. I'm not even sure that the traveling show will be on Disney property. Mm-hmm. I think the thing is to just have a part of that franchise in Orlando as an option while they
completely
retool a new show.
Yeah.
Or tool a new show, not retool. It's going to be a new show.
Awesome. It's going to be cool.
And I feel pretty confident with this.
Okay. It would make sense.
The devastatingly good-looking people tell me it's
true. It's kind of exciting because while I love our La Nuba show, I've seen it so many times, I have no desire to see
it. Never seen it.
Oh, it's out of all of them, it's my favorite.
Unbelievable.
Well, you know why.
You call yourself a Disney fan.
No, but you know why.
I know what that means.
You know why I don't, right? It's your fault.
I know, right?
Dragging me away from a hot blackjack table in Vegas to go see, what was it? Mystere?
On my deathbed, this is the story I'm
on my gravestone, it's going to mention chicken and waffles.
I had bad acid trips that were more enjoyable than that show.
That was an awful show.
I think La Nuba is a really good show.
It really is.
And it took me, I saw it.
Well, I was traumatized.
I saw it a couple of times before I realized that the singing was live. And then I was even more impressed because you don't see the singer.
Mm-hmm.
I think
like
it's
in
a good
cage.
Show.
It's
yeah.
So,
yeah. But I'd be into it.
Has everybody else seen La Nuba?
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course. No, yeah. I've not.
I think twice or three times.
You and Oliver should go.
Like on a date?
Yeah, like
it's inappropriate.
I've set you up.
I'm a married man.
I was just going to say, he can bring his husband.
Yeah, really.
And I'm old enough to be your older brother. What are you laughing at? So, all right. Well, thank you for that, Kevin. Kathy, can you top that? No, next.
The Move It, Shake It, Dance and Play It Street Party will only perform at 12:30 and 5:45 on.
Well, there's no point in going on now.
Well,
there's no point in living. There's no point in living.
I have an exciting one after this. January 3rd, 6th, 13th, 17th, and the 25th. They're doing concrete work along Main Street. And so they're going to use the Main Street Ranch Wagon. And in exciting news, there's a. Now listen.
I love that came with jazz hands.
Yes. There's a Figment scavenger hunt coming to the Festival of the Arts.
Oh.
Can't you just wait to go do that?
I love Figment.
I think that'll be fun.
Let's be clear here, because there seems to be a lot of confusion about this. I love Figment. I loved the original Journey into Imagination. I do not love the back alley abortion that they put in its place right now. That I don't love. But Figment, I absolutely love.
You think
so
it'll
that's
be similar-
January 13th to February 20th. So go do a scavenger.
Do you think it'll be similar to like Finding Remy?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Will can make a t-shirt out of that?
I certainly hope not.
So that's my exciting news.
That is very exciting.
Concrete and Figment.
Yes.
As opposed to Figment in concrete.
Do we know that this isn't Figment on the picture?
That's that Move It, Shake It, Celebrate It, Dance It, Play It.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah. Whatever.
Kathy is going to lunge across this table at you.
That's not Figment?
No.
Maybe I should go on the scavenger hunt. I would lose. I found him. No, that's not Figment.
That's a really big stitch. Sorry.
Julie, what's yours?
He's trying to lose weight.
That's a really big stitch.
I mean, he's really tall.
Do not
he's
fat
not
shame.
That tall.
Julie is fat shaming Stitch.
Oh, poor Stitch.
And I think that's
Stitch
really
is
inappropriate.
Like this tall.
It's inappropriate. Poor Stitch. Now, you know, it's going to get back to him. He's going to stress eat.
He has to hide all those other arms. That's why.
Does he have multiple arms?
Yeah, he pulls them in.
Well, how do you think Figment's going to feel?
I've not seen the movie.
What? No Anuba, no Lilo and Stitch. Oh.
And you're concerned about Stitch's emotional health. Think of what Figment's going through now.
But Jolie's not fat shaming Figment. Yet. Give her time. But
you would reference something in the back alley.
Well, that's fair.
Fair and balanced news reporting. That's us.
All right.
Tequila. Sorry.
Do it again.
Is that what's in your cup?
Tequila. It's what my rapid fire is all about. My husband chose this for me, FYI.
No.
So, Kelsey Cruz.
Disney announced that Choza Tequila is going to be opening an authentic outdoor tequilaria just outside of the Mexico Pavilion in Epcot early this year. There's not yet a set date, but early.
Isn't there a tequila place in the pavilion?
Yes, but let me get to that. So this is sort of maybe to counteract the line that's always in there at La Cava del Tequila. So there's going to be frozen margaritas available once again. Hopefully it will alleviate the long lines found at La Cava del Tequila inside the Mexico Pavilion. There's going to be handcrafted margaritas, tacos, empanadas, chips, and fresh guacamole. And like I said before, there is not an exact date, just early, which I'm assuming means before July or June.
Yeah.
It might be during the art thing.
Maybe so. Maybe they're hoping to open it by then. But I'm pretty excited. They're going to be empanadas year-round now. So.
You know what kills me about thin people that talk like that about food? You know, it's like, oh, should I get up empanadas whenever I want? I'm not going to gain any weight.
That's not true.
That's true. I like the use of the word handcrafted.
Okay, no. The woman's a vampire. I've known her for how many years? She hasn't aged a day. She looks.
I thought we weren't
going
to talk about how old I was.
I'm not. I'm just saying that she has not aged. I mean, it's been years. Woman hasn't aged.
She made the same deal that Pablo made.
Right? Her weight hasn't changed. Nothing has changed. So I ask you, the good viewer, go back and look at the old shows.
Yes, I drink the blood of small children to keep me young.
All right. Did you know they're serving alcohol in other places?
I was just
going to
say maybe chomp on the dreams of small children. I wasn't going to go that far. But okay. Now she's giving away her secret. All right. Well, thank you, Julie.
You called me a vampire.
In the best possible sense of the word. That was the only explanation for your continued beauty and youth.
Aw, that's very nice.
Oliver?
Yours too, Oliver.
Yeah.
Hello. Yes, Minnie's Silver Screen Dine-In is back. How exciting.
Oh,
so,
is this that tragedy that was Hollywood?
Speaking of back alleys.
Is this that tragedy that was at Hollywood and Vine?
That was yes. awful.
This is
given,
that
someone
tragedy
a, given someone a sequined hat does not a theme make.
I titled it wrong, too. It's just Dine. It's not Dine-In. I don't know why I put that.
Dine-In.
But it's been eating me up inside ever since.
Okay.
Yeah, so this travesty is back.
Good yes, sorry. Yeah, this travesty is back from the 7th of January to March 19th. $30 for children, $50 for adults. You're going to see Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Daisy, and Goofy. And for those of you that would like to hear some the review from last year, head on over to the YouTube channel and search it there.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that, Oliver. We get a lot of, we get a lot of pushback when we review stuff like this because we're doing it without kids. And a lot of people say that the food doesn't matter. It's the character interaction. That's what we care about. That's what our kids care about. So, I'll just say this. You know, if the food doesn't matter and you're okay spending $50 a head to, as Kevin put it, you know, a sequin hat on Minnie, then okay. I mean, that's respectable. I can respect that. But when it's presumably being charged for food and the food is that bad, I mean, it's a travesty.
And the character interaction wasn't very good either.
No, it wasn't.
It was they came around to the table once, and that was it.
Yeah. It wasn't anything spectacular. I've seen better. For me, I hear $50, and I think it's a ripoff at half the price. So that's me, though. So if the characters really matter that much, and you're cool with that, I respect that. But just be prepared. The food really is terrible. It's always been terrible, and it's always gotten terrible reviews, and they've not done a blessed thing in years to change it. And that,
why
to me,
they? Why would they? It's filling up, apparently.
Yep.
Enough to bring it back.
But
why fix what's not broken?
I think that, you know, when you have... Well, because they've done it in other places where they've constantly gotten bad reviews. For some reason, they're like, this is their line in the sand. You know, this Hollywood and Vine is their line in the sand. This, we will protect our crappy food.
And Tony's Town Square. And the aquarium at Epcot.
Coral Reef. And
right, exactly. This one is particularly bad.
This one is painfully offensive.
Yeah, I agree.
And the place itself,
that should be their tagline,
is like a dining room in a hospital. It's like really institutional dining room, and the characters get like Goofy has on a Hawaiian print sport jacket, and I think that's
yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. So, but like I said, if the character interaction is what you're going for and you don't care about the food, food doesn't bother you, and you're okay with that price, I'm not judging you. I'm just saying for me, if I'm going to a buffet, I want the food to be at least decent.
Maximoon's judging people.
Maximoon judges you.
You realize now it's Maximoon. You got it, right? Yeah. It's Maximoon Magi from now on. Everybody's
mad if one of us started it.
This is all on you. You had to go for the laugh, and now look what's happened.
That's all right.
It's everything's a big joke until somebody loses an eye.
I'll ever do something stupid this week, and you'll all forget about me. That's the way this works.
How's that for a boast of confidence?
All right. Gregory.
Okay, so everyone is asking for us to mention that the welcome show is changing. So the welcome show is changing.
Everyone?
Okay. No, okay. So right before he left to go home for the holiday, Steve comes in and he was bubbling with excitement. I'm not kidding. Over the fact that the welcome show was changing at the Magic Kingdom. I'm like, wow, I had no idea it was that bad. I had no idea he was that bad. Like, why are you this excited about it? But he's like...
Because they're moving it into the park, which I think is kind of a cool idea, right?
I love the fact that everyone is asking.
It's way too crowded in front of the train station. Yeah. Everyone packs in there. It's really uncomfortable. It's much nice. It'll be nicer once it starts on the 9th,
not
I believe,
be the same without
January.
Scoop.
Can move up and down. That's all I have
they're
to say
gonna
about
they're
going
to let people into Main Street... Up
so
to the
they can
hub
go to Starbucks?
Or past the hub, do you think?
It has to get you to the hub because you have to watch the welcome show at the castle now. Right. So, yeah. We'll go watch it.
And that starts when? The 9th?
Takes
the 9th, I believe.
January 9th.
I forget.
Next Monday.
So, yeah.
All right.
We'll watch that. But my real one is I wanted to mention some of the Pro Bowl events that are actually coming to Walt Disney World. So the Pro Bowl's happening in Orlando on Sunday, January 29th. And there's going to be some fun things happening in and around Walt Disney World because of it. All those events start kicking off on Wednesday, January 25th. So there's going to be a lot of NFL players in town walking around, some famous.
No one will know who they are.
That's why it's the Pro Bowl. And... There will be a special parade held at the Magic Kingdom on that Friday, January 27th, that will include players and cheerleaders coming down Main Street. So clearly we'll send Rhino to go cover that. Sounds like it's right up his alley.
Yes, but I want him in pigtails and a cheerleader's skirt.
Pom-poms. We can do that.
Pom-poms.
I'm sure he already owns one.
And the thing I'm most excited about is that there's going to be a Pro Bowl 5K run on Saturday morning at Epcot that you can sign up for now.
That's what I'm most excited about, too.
I am, too. Well, besides the actual game itself.
Well, every so often we have to let the straights have a little something. So there they go. There you go.
And that's the whole Star Wars thing?
Token. It's token rapid fire. All right.
Is everybody satisfied that we mentioned it?
And no one has said anything, so really it was worthless.
Now that we've judged them for being excited about the...
You cannot trust everyone.
All right. Before we go, something I wanted to start doing this year is every week kind of pick a thread from the previous week that I thought was pretty interesting from the boards. And this one grabbed my attention when it first hit. And it was on our theme parks, attractions, and strategies board, Where Are or Were the Crowds? It was started by Lee and Robin. And the post was, so we arrived on 12/17 expecting huge crowds, our first time at Walt Disney World for the Christmas season. Crowds were lower or the same in every park compared to our previous trips in the off-season right up until Christmas Day in Epcot. In Epcot, crowds were noticeably smaller than on a weekend food and wine day from a year ago. Today in the Magic Kingdom, it was very crowded, but not any more crowded than our first honeymoon night on October 21st, 2013. I just don't get it. Everything we've heard about the amazingly huge crowds has not turned out to be true. And it goes on to talk about the length of rides. Other people chiming in that they found the same thing, that the crowds were noticeably less this year. Some people are saying it's because of this new thing Disney is doing now where they're kind of yielding the price of tickets where they're more expensive on these peak holidays, and that's helping control the crowds. Other people are saying, and this seemed to be more of what people felt, was that Disney had finally jumped the shark in terms of their prices and people have just kind of turned off to it. So what do we think? Do we think, which of those two things do we think is true?
Well, personal experience, we actually were in Hollywood Studios on Christmas Day.
What happened?
I know. We wanted to go see the Star Wars fireworks. We happened to be at Disney Springs. We had dinner at Homecoming, which we enjoyed very much.
And we got to get back there.
It was a great meal. We had a great time.
It's actually become one of my favorites.
I agree.
Thank you.
And we went to Hollywood Studios to see the Star Wars fireworks. And we commented, where were the crowds?
And this was Christmas Day?
This was Christmas Day. And we thought, well, they must all be in the Magic Kingdom or they must all be at Epcot today because
they weren't there.
They weren't there. It was a crowded, busy park, but it wasn't like
I wouldn't describe it as any busier than any other busy day.
Now, what about you? And Kathy, I know you're always in the Magic Kingdom on Christmas. Were you there this year? And what were your thoughts?
I thought it was as busy as every other Christmas. I go in and I sit and up at the train station and just sort of watched the crowds. But this year I actually walked around and there's those typical like pinch points where it seems like a lot of people, but it still seemed like there was as many people on Christmas Day as there always is. And leaving the line to get into Magic Kingdom was every bit as long as it's been in years past.
Okay. How about you guys? Were you in the parks over the holidays?
Yeah, I attempted to go in one time, and the time I was in there, I left because it was just so busy. So I think maybe
that?
I just got unlucky. Magic Kingdom. But this was... I was in Tomorrowland, and the extended line for the People Mover, it was the longest I'd ever seen.
I know. When do you ever see
back.
A line at the People Mover?
Well, this is the extended line. It was so far back. It was crazy. The way I described it to my other half was there was people waiting to go on the Carousel of Progress. That's how bad it was. So you couldn't get on the next show. You know, it was the one after. It was. I've not seen these light crowds at all. But then again, I only went in the one time, had a terrible experience, and decided that if I don't have to go, I'm not going to, you know? So
yeah, I did. I actually went to Hollywood Studios on New Year's Day for the Star Wars fireworks as well. And I couldn't believe how dead it was there. So, but then I looked on My Disney Experience and looked at the wait times, and all the rides were closing with basically a 60-minute wait or more. Like Tower of Terror was at 120, Rock and Roller Coaster was right around the same. So there were people there. They were just all in line for the rides, I guess. And I went to Disney Springs, I want to say on maybe like the 23rd. And I was like this close from punching people because of how busy it was.
Disney Springs
like,
was
it was
very
just
busy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uncomfortably busy. And
but did you find Disney Springs more crowded?
Oh, absolutely.
The theme parks.
Absolutely.
Okay, that says something, though.
Yeah.
That in and of itself says something. That, you know, so what do we think? Is it in fact, the price yielding and the raising, $124, $123 for a one-day ticket on Christmas Day at the Magic Kingdom? That's the peak. That's the peak pricing. Is that keeping people away, or is it just... You know, we've had all this bad, we've talked endlessly about the bad press and the PR disasters and the things that have gone on over the last year, the price hikes, the narrative being out there that everything's under construction and nothing is ready. Do you think that's doing it, or do you think it's these price yielding, which is what Disney said they were doing it for when they first announced that they were going to yield prices for one-day tickets to be higher during certain days of the year, certain times of the year? It was to control crowds. Do you think that's working, or is it something else?
I for this year, I want to say I didn't have any experience with it, but to me it would make sense with the way the holidays fell this year. If people had to work all the way up till Friday, that means they would have had to travel on Christmas Eve to come down here. I know from my point of view, I would never want to have to travel, fly anywhere on Christmas Eve. I would wait until after and then come for that New Year's celebration. So I don't know if that was part of it too.
I apologize for interrupting.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
There were pictures on Twitter of the line for Soarin' on New Year's Eve where it had filled the queue, so they snaked it out into backstage, and people were getting in line in front of Journey into Imagination.
Wow.
So
yeah, I think
I don't know. I wasn't in Epcot on New Year's Eve. I'm going by pictures I saw. But if this is a very valid thing. There was also some bad weather around Christmas up north, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it was affecting travel, yeah.
Right.
I'm not convinced that the crowds were as low as people are making them out to be. I think it's people are going to what they want to do. So they want to go to the Magic Kingdom on Christmas Day. They want to go to Epcot on Christmas Day. The studios are not as crowded because of the construction. They're having trouble getting people in there anyway. That's why they're running two fireworks shows over the holidays. So I think it's really where people want to be. Disney Springs was packed.
But I have a feeling that a lot of that is local.
Well,
they've made that more accessible now.
I think it's a combination of local and tourists because, first of all, a lot of people are like, oh, I want to check it out. It's new.
Right.
But also, as a local, I got to tell you, I absolutely love being at Disney Springs and look for any excuse I can to get over there.
And I think if you look, you know, one of the things we have at our disposal is the travel agency's numbers. We can go and we can run some reports. And from this sheer what we see staying booked through our travel agency, the numbers were up. So I don't, you know, anecdotally, I don't see that the numbers are down. So I don't see where...
No, and our numbers were up pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a good year. So,
I don't know that this is a true phenomenon. I think someone went, they were expecting higher crowds because of what they read and what they saw on other sites and what they were anticipating. And when it wasn't as bad as they thought it was going to be, they got excited about
That's a very interesting point I hadn't thought of. The hysteria that is created online and online communities, my own included, that, you know, oh, the crowds and it's terrible and it's this and it's that. So, you know, of course, in our heads, you know, that can get blown up. And then we get there and it is crowded and it is kind of crazy. But it's like, God, I was expecting, I was expecting bloodshed in the streets. And, you know, it's not that. So therefore, it's better. So this might be that. This might be that, you know, we're reading it on and we see it all the time, too, where, you know, people read something on the boards. They see something and they're. Like, they just grab it and they run with it, and it's like, oh, my God, this is going to be awful, 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 awful. Then they get there and they experience, like, oh, it wasn't quite that bad.
I also want to talk about financial and value. So we have annual passes, and we paid more money for your annual pass this year than we did last year. The price went up significantly. However, when you look at what we got for that day, being able to park for free, being able to go into a theme park and do what we wanted to do, it might be different from what other people wanted to do. We got a discount at Homecoming for our meal. I mean, I think our annual pass is a tremendous value.
Incredible value. Agreed. I will challenge anybody that would say the annual passes are a ripoff. The only way an annual pass is a ripoff, if you spend that money and go twice, that then it's a ripoff. But if you're in the parks 7-8 times with an annual pass, with the discounts and the parking and everything else you get with it, especially, you know, mine, I've got the both coasts. And for me, it's awesome. I have no blackout dates. I can go in any of those parks whenever I want. And the discounts, especially, we're getting pretty good here, but the discounts we get out in California with that annual pass are ridiculous. So, yeah, it's an absolute, I think it's a great value.
And one of the other things, I don't know how long it's going to last, and I don't think I mentioned this since the last time we did a podcast, but I did that express transportation.
Oh, yeah, you loved it.
That is just we started off at Epcot for we paid $15 as an annual pass holder, and you know, Katie's a cast member, she paid her $15. We got to four parks in 4 hours. We went shopping, we had lunch, we did some attractions, but I got to all four parks. I've never done that all in one day. And on the bus, there was hardly anybody there, but everybody was asking, and if you want a backstage tour for $15, it was awesome. I got to see how they, you know.
So explain to me, is it $15 as an annual pass holder, $15 mm-hmm. each day you want to use that?
Right, or it's $24 for 7 consecutive days. So if you're going to be here for a week, buy the $24 version, and you can buy it up at the ticket window, and I think now you can actually buy it at each one of the stops. But they add it to your Magic Band,
mm-hmm.
and so they scan it, and then a cast member escorts you back to the bus, and it's a standard cast member bus, you know, that takes you backstage and stuff, and you get off at the next park, and they like escort you. They're always counting, like they scan. They go, okay, there's 7. Okay, 7 got off. 7 made it up to the next point. So they don't want anybody to linger
right.
backstage.
Sure.
But 2 of the stops, we walked right onto the bus. We had no wait. And 2 of the stops, we had just missed a bus. And at that point, they were 30 minutes apart. But I've heard that they increase that over the holidays. But wow.
Where do you get the bus backstage? It's like the Magic Kingdom. Where did you get the bus?
Magic Kingdom was like behind Buzz Lightyear. You went backstage there. Hmm. Epcot is, if you're facing Spaceship Earth, it's where the bathrooms are on the left-hand side. There's an entrance there. Animal Kingdom was back by the Safari. And Magic Hollywood Studios was back by Club Villain.
Oh, okay.
And you could sit there. Epcot had like 2 benches. Like, they haven't like thought it all out and had more benches. Magic Kingdom really didn't have any benches except the planners there around like Buzz Lightyear. But they tell you if you get up there and you say, hey, I'd like to take the bus to wherever, and they'll go, well, the next bus is coming at 10 after. They go, come back about 5 minutes beforehand. We'll scan your Magic Band, and then they escort everybody back.
Well, everybody that I am hearing that has experienced it, it's getting rave reviews.
Oh,
people are
awesome.
Absolutely loving this. And now it's been billed as a test.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard anything about whether or not it looks like they're going to continue this?
No, I haven't. But everybody that I talked to along the way, even the cast members, were really excited. And you could see that it wasn't that fake enthusiasm. It was like they really wanted to know, hey, and did you know this? And did you know that? And talking to the other people on the bus, everybody had a great experience. Were so that's one thing I hope they keep around.
Were the buses accessible?
Handicap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. The other cool thing, not to change the subject, but the other great thing about annual pass holders is now this new annual pass holder entrance.
I loved it.
Oh,
is
yeah.
That, but yes. is that staying in place after the holidays? That
heard.
Was only supposed to be up for the holidays.
It's supposed to go through the end of January, I heard. But
I hope they keep it.
Yeah, that was nice.
It's another nice little perk.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't cost them anything.
No.
Just open one lane.
If anything, it actually saves them money because annual pass holders know what they're doing, so they have to have less people mm-hmm. to man those
right.
turnstiles. So, yeah.
Good point. So, all right. I think there was a very lively discussion. Went all over the place, but it was a good discussion.
Craig. He's never lively.
Craig?
I was.
Oh, he is, but it's all on the inside. So, all right. That is going to do it for our show. It is great to be back. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll be back with you again next week with another edition of the Diz Unplugged. Thanks for being with us, everyone. And remember, stay out of the damn lakes. Have a good week.